Welcome once again to Beef News and Notes, information for both the producers and the consumers of our great product, beef. Well, every year at this time, the University of Minnesota beef team goes around the state and hosts their annual Beef Feeder Days. This year, it is in Rochester and Laverne. Tuesday, the Rochester stop was made, and tomorrow, Thursday, the event will be held in Laverne at the Grand Prairie Event Center at 6 p.m. Each year, the seminar has really informative topics presented by some of the best educators in our region. Along with Dr. Alfredo DeConstanza, Dr. Grant, and Dr. Grant Crawford, the event will be highlighted by one of my favorite educators, Dr. Robbie Pritchard from SDSU. Good afternoon, Robbie.
Good afternoon.
All right, well, first off, how did that stop go in Rochester on Tuesday?
Things went well. They had a full house. They had good questions, good conversation, a lot of useful information. People seemed pretty happy with what they'd picked up on their by the time they were headed out.
And overall, I mean, you've gone to, or you've put on a lot of these meetings over the years. As far as the optimism in the beef sector, it seems to be there, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. The theme of the meeting is backgrounding, and there were a lot of people there that are actively engaged in backgrounding, and they had a very positive attitude about things.
Okay, well, on that note of backgrounding, your presentation is on precision backgrounding. Can you just give us a little information on that subject?
Well, it used for the backgrounding, transition, letting those cattle mature some between weaning age and when they're ready to put in finishing diets. It used to be you just tried to do it as low cost as possible. You know, originally it was all out on grass. There's less and less grass all of the time, so we need to do it in dry lot. But the focus was on just holding down cost to gain. But in this part of the world, we're unique because there are a wide variety of low-cost feedstuffs, and these producers tend to go ahead and be the same feedlot that finishes the cattle. So if they can do things in their management during the backgrounding phase to improve the performance or product for their finishing end of their business, they will receive all of that reward directly. So it's the right place and the right group of people to work with on that.
Okay. So you told me that you kind of are looking at the type of calves that are put in. Say if they're, you know, a bigger frame type cattle, you'd probably feed a little differently, you know, the mega kale or the NEG intakes compared to, say, a smaller frame British Angus, just to use an example.
Yes. It's kind of like precision ag on the row crop side of things. It doesn't change the quality or productivity of a piece of land. What we do is we figure out how to optimize our inputs for the production potential of that. And that's we're just applying the same principles on these cattle, targeting the average daily gain and the net energy for gain intake and the implant strategy for the frame size and the weight of the cattle. And when we do that, we can manipulate carcass weight, percentage choice at slaughter, the feed efficiency during the finishing phase, just by applying similar concepts to what the corn guys do.
Okay. So, like, certain cattle just don't have the frame to finish out, you know, and have a quality carcass. And the sooner we probably admit that, the better off we're going to be with our backgrounding program. One side question for you. Oh, back several years ago, it seemed like there was a real, there was a lot of people using ultrasound to determine some of these factors. Have you seen that that's diminished the use of it?
Oh, I don't know. It hasn't taken over, that's for sure. We've found some, there are some niches where that's useful, and it's certainly useful in breeding stock. In the backgrounding yards and the feedlots, we've found ways to be able to, we've learned enough from the data we collected when we were ultrasounding, figure out what we needed to do with the management for that kind of an animal, and now we don't have to go through the exercise of ultrasounding on all of them.
Right, that makes sense. So comparing our industry to poultry or swine, as I see it, you know, something like this is one way that we can provide a more uniform product to our retail customers and to the consumer. Would you agree?
Oh, a more uniform product, and I like to remind people, a greener product, because these backgrounding programs are using fodders and byproducts from ethanol plants and all sorts of things that we don't have another good use for. And instead of it being trash that's around, we're converting it into high-quality, nutritious food.
That's right. And as far as cover crops, do they enter into any of your research as far as letting these calves graze on something like that?
I haven't been working in the cover crop area. People are. They're all frustrated because about the time they think they have a good idea, it'll snow or something.
That's true.
Cover crops have a lot of potential. But there are some logistics to try to work out. If we try to base a plan on them and then the weather doesn't go our way, we have to have plan B ready to go.
That's a really good point, too. As a producer in this part of the country, I think our industry in the U.S. can really be pleased to know that around the world, our beef produce sets that gold standard for beef being bought from other beef-producing countries. The future really looks bright, in my opinion, on our exports. Would you agree on that?
Oh, I do. I agree wholeheartedly, and what those export markets want are the highest quality products that we can produce on the beef side, and that's where this backgrounding strategy comes to play again, because these Minnesota cattle feeders are buying, they're on the fringe of the best feeder calves in the country. And then when they manage them really well, we can make a happy customer in the other part of the world. And we can't compete with Brazil for the cheapest beef in the world market. We have to be in the market selling Mercedes-Benz when we think about the quality of the product that we put out there. And that's what these folks are doing.
That's a great way to put it. Well, thanks, Dr. Pritchard, for being on, and we will see you tomorrow night, Thursday at 6 o'clock in Laverne, and thanks for all the great research you have done over the years to help keep U.S. beef the number one product around the world.
Well, thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right. Until next week, thanks for listening, and we will talk again.